WBGO celebrated its 40th birthday this past Wednesday. WBGO's Alexandra Hill sat down with longtime announcer Gary Walker to talk about his favorite moments during his more than 30 years of being the morning maestro on the greatest jazz station in the world.
The legendary Gary Walker.
Sure, I called Sonny Rollins one day to wish him happy birthday. Sonny!
Yes?
I said, it's Gary Walker. I'm just wishing you a happy birthday, man. You have given us so much music over the years, and I know you're getting ready to celebrate at Carnegie Hall soon, and I just wanted to call you up and say happy birthday. And he goes, who is this?
That's great.
That's just the...
That is a great impression of him.
That's a typical response to the legacy that once was Gary Walker.
How did you come across this station 37 years ago, and you've helped build it to what it is today?
I had just moved to New York. It was 1982. I was married to an actress, which is why we came here. I knew one person in all of New York City, and it happened to be a guy that owned a record label, Muse Records, and later High Note Savant. His name was Joe Fields, and he's legendary in this business. And I went to see him. He was the only guy I knew. So I brought my legal pad and a pencil and thinking, it's New York. There must be four or five jazz stations around here. All I was looking for was a part-time gig, you know, just keep my hands in it. After telling me, well, there's a station in Connecticut, there's a station at Columbia University, there's a station that just changed hands, and there's this little station in Newark, New Jersey. Pretty tight-knit bunch, though. I said, tell me the program, the director's name, I'll get in touch with him. And that gentleman's name was Al Pryor, who's still a name in the music business. They were just making the transition from a weekend full of taped programming, you know, pre-recorded, to all live presentation. They were looking for a few people, actually, for the weekend. And it was funny because when I came in for the interview, I walked in the door and who was sitting on the couch in the lobby was Mercer Ellington. And I thought, oh, my God, if this guy's coming in for a gig, I don't stand a chance. The son of Duke Ellington. I mean, those kinds of occurrences at WBGO are kind of commonplace. You know, we used to have this annual event. We called it a jazzathon.
I remember hearing about
those. Oh, God, it was like 24, 30 hours straight of music, much of which was broadcast. You know, I don't know it was the best radio in the world, but it was a great event to attend. And I can remember one year at the Village Gate, which you people now call Le Poisson Rouge, but the same stairs, the big wide stairs that take you down into the main room, that was Art DeLukoff's Village Gate. That was also the place in the 1980s where we did a jazzathon, and Gregory Hines was there, and Freddie Hubbard came and played, and Jerry Gonzalez and the Fort Apache Band, and Hank Crawford and Jimmy McGriff, and I was one of the, not pallbearers, but carriers. Imagine a leather chair, just a regular chair. I held one leg, three other people held a leg, and we carried Big Joe Turner down those stairs, kept him on that chair, put him right up on that stage, and man, he sang like nobody's business. The hard part, the worst part of that night, was carrying Big Joe back up those stairs. That hurt.
You've conducted countless interviews with amazing and legendary musicians. Who was your favorite interview over 37 years?
We all have, you know, favorite nights. Not necessarily interviews, but nights of music. The night we came together for our 10th anniversary and the Blue Note record label had their 25th and we did a joint concert in New York City at Carnegie Hall. That was, can you imagine? I mean, of course it was sold out. It was a night where every Blue Note artist that you can imagine, past and present, was on that stage and they were making music. There was Kenny Burrell. There was Stanley Turrentine. There was Tony Williams. There, There were so many great musicians, you know, and just stellar nights. But I can remember walking out on stage with Rhonda Hamilton at the Apollo Theater one night. We introduced ourselves, and she said, "Hello, I'm Rhonda Hamilton." And I said, "And I'm Gary Walker." And there was a pause, and I said, "I tell you that so you don't confuse us with Peaches and Herb." And then we got together and introduced a night that featured the Philip Morris Super Band, and the two featured performers had never performed before together on a stage anywhere. We had B.B. King and Ray Charles. And what happens is just this undeniable energy that shakes the room. And in reality, it was that powerful of a night because you're talking about musical identities coming together.
I'm gonna call on my good buddy, Mr. B.B. King. Play me some blues before we go.
So I want to talk a little bit about morning jazz. How did you get this morning shift to turn this show into what is one of the most popular times of day with the most listeners? And then you have a partnership in your news director and our news director, Doug Doyle. Tell us a little bit about the evolution of morning jazz.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think it was the process of elimination because, you know, jazz fans understand, you know, how many jazz fans does it take to change a light bulb at 6 in the morning? None, because ain't none of them going to show up because they're just going to bed. So, you know, you have to have a particular type of energy. And I had done morning radio in other formats in the Cleveland market. So it's just bringing a particular sensibility to that. And one day, a guy named Doug Doyle walked in the door and had an interview, and they introduced me to him in the hallway, and I said, "It's nice to meet you. I hope to see you again." Well, you know, he didn't know that was a throwaway line. He actually came back again and again and again and again, and we've been together now for over 20 years. Here I am, you know, well into my 60s, and I still love what I do each and every day. I mean, do I bitch? Of course I do. But I love what I do overall and look forward to programming a show just like everybody else here that is worth their salt, comes on the air, and you can tell that they're giving it their all to make a program that's worthy of an audience.
60 individuals who have come down here this morning to help me celebrate my 25th anniversary on the air. Right. Thank you all. And over the course of my quarter century at WBGO, there have been so many fantastic people that I have had the chance to meet, artists of this great music, from Gerald Wilson to Dizzy Gillespie. I can still remember the time Dizzy and I stole a silver ice bucket from Lincoln Center.
Oh.
Maybe shouldn't say that, should I?